Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we are joined by Senator Bob Hull. He is a Texas state senator, but a man who has established, I believe, a record that should put him in the forefront of legislators at the state level as well as at the federal level for his concern about and his commitment to do something to correct our terrible, yawning vulnerability to a potentially mortal peril to not just his own state of Texas, but the people of the United States more generally. Senator Hull is a graduate of the Citadel. He went on to serve in the United States Air Force, rising to the rank of captain with an engineering degree that made him an extraordinarily consequential figure in a way that we'll talk about here momentarily with him. He went on to work after leaving the Air Force in the aerospace industry as an engineer. He felt the call to continue public service and ran for the state Senate in Texas about, I believe, 2-3 years ago or so, and is now standing for re-election. We're delighted to have him with us. Senator Hull, thank you for your service to our country, including that you're rendering these days in the state Senate of Texas.
Well, thank you, Frank, for having me on here tonight with you to talk about this very, very serious issue that I'm just afraid there are too many of our people that don't quite understand how serious this threat is with the way our culture has changed, the way the world situation has changed from the 60s, where I was first introduced to this threat, where at that time only the Russians and the Chinese really had a nuclear capability, where today we have several nations, including rogue nations like North Korea and Iran, that have a nuclear capability. And the vulnerability of our country is so much greater today than it was 50 years ago, when while electricity was important, it was more of a luxury than it is an absolute necessity today.
You know, that's such an important insight and something I think most of us can't really get our heads around. It is so ubiquitous. It is so central to our lives and livelihoods, for that matter, that it's hard to imagine a time when it wasn't so. But Senator, let me go back to that period with you, because I think, again, what you did in the Air Force during your service there was not only great and necessary training for what you've been trying to do in the Texas State Senate, but also an extraordinary, service to our country as well. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Yes. Well, I was assigned to the Minuteman Missile Program. It was kind of a fluke because they weren't accepting second lieutenants at that time, but they went ahead and accepted me when I arrived there. And after I'd been there about 3.5 years, a group of scientists and engineers from DARPA.
That's the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, of course.
Right. With a new threat that they had discovered as a result of the high-altitude nuclear testing we were doing with when we got our weapons so large we couldn't keep detonating with, on the surface there in Nevada. And that was what they called the EMP threat, electromagnetic pulse. It was a phenomenon they knew about when they went into the program but didn't quite understand the magnitude of it. And what they discovered is they set off a nuclear weapon a couple hundred nautical miles above the Earth down in the Pacific, and it knocked out the power systems in the islands. The Russians were experiencing the same thing, but we didn't know that at the time. But they recognized that this would be a serious threat to our Minuteman missile. It could be used as a weapon that would destroy the missiles in flight.
And this was the brand new Minuteman II missile at the time, as I understand it.
That is correct. We were transitioning from Minuteman I to Minuteman II and to III, and none of the improvements or changes in the missile were making it less vulnerable. Matter of fact, it made it more vulnerable because we were so much advanced ahead of the Russians that our missiles were designed with integrated circuits, whereas the Russian computer systems were vacuum tubes, which were impervious to this threat. So it was a serious threat that unbalanced MAD, mutually assured destruction, and gave the Russians a huge advantage over us if we didn't harden, and as the term that was used, to protect the missile against the EMP threat.
In other words, just to help the layperson understand what's going on here, you're talking about a phenomenon the Soviet Union had discovered before we did, actually, as I recall, through nuclear testing that had they employed it against our unprotected, our unhardened missile systems and other bombers and delivery systems, could have, in fact, not only rendered them incapable of performing their mission, they could have essentially allowed the Soviets an effective first strike and decisive capacity for victory. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely, because other than this threat, the Russians would have to target, you know, our almost 1,000 missiles that we had deployed at that time, which would have taken a huge amount of very accurate launches to accomplish. This would reduce it to just a few launch missiles launched and detonated above the atmosphere, too, that would kill our missiles in flight and render them useless.
A so-called EMP sort of preemptive laydown. And Senator, again, born of this experience, you have had an opportunity to evaluate the current condition, not so much of our military, I suppose, but most especially of our civilian infrastructure, our electric grid that supports actually both the military and the civilian population. And tell us what your study of this suggests is our present vulnerability to an electromagnetic pulse attack.
Well, it's extremely vulnerable to it. The role I played in being the project manager to harden the missile, I became intimately familiar with what the threat was at that time. And as I discovered that it had moved on to where they could actually use it against us in going after the entire country, not just our missile system, I started evaluating and discussing and reading literature that was out there on how vulnerable our power grid is, particularly because of the nature of the way it was designed, never with this threat in mind, and of systems that have been around for sometimes several decades that are very susceptible to the pulse.
And I just have to ask the question, sir, why is it that this susceptibility hasn't been corrected before now? As you say, our understanding of this phenomenon goes back to the 60s, for heaven's sakes. How is it we've built a system on which we've become increasingly, essentially dependent without regard for this phenomenon?
Well, I think there are several contributing factors, one of which is that there's no one that's really in charge of the safety and security of protecting our grid system from a physical attack of this magnitude. This is way outside the scope of what any individual power company does. It's not within the charter of the Department of Defense. It's not within the charter of the Department of Energy. And it's certainly not something that the folks at the federal level in charge of the power companies want to consider, because they're mostly controlled by the power companies. And this is something that the power companies have just had their heads stuck in the sand. It really kind of puzzles me why they have been so adamantly opposed to protecting the grid. My best conclusion is that most of the power companies are run by executives who are more concerned about their paycheck and bonuses than they are about addressing this threat. And so they have dodged it. But we don't have anybody at the national level that has said, until now, and with President Trump actually recognizing this threat and talking about it, not only on the campaign trail, but since he's been in office, I'm becoming much more optimistic that we will be able to move out and do something about actually protecting our.
But in the meantime, we are vulnerable, and you have led the efforts in the State Senate of Texas, and in fact, the state legislature of Texas, to try to get something done in a state that has essentially, uniquely, its own electric grid. We have to pause for just a second. When we come back, we're going to talk to Senator Bob Hall of Texas about why he has been unable thus far to get the state of Texas protected, and as a result, what needs urgently to be done to safeguard the lives of millions of people in this state and serve as a model for the rest of us. That and more with Senator Bob Hall of Texas right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.